Welcome back to Recruiter Insights. This is a podcast made by recruiters to give you some insights. Today, we are inviting Emotion Pod, an NFT mental health project, the founding team member, to share about their NFT projects, which actually, at this point of time, I'm still not really sure what is happening about this project. So I think they are able to help us to explain all of that later.
Hi everyone.
Hi everyone.
Welcome to our podcast.
Our team is full here today to support the channel.
This is the very first time I have so many guests in this podcast, you know.
We have to show support to the local talent, you know. We have to build.
Glad to hear that. Yes. So is it possible, maybe, I know we had your introduction just now, but is it possible you can introduce to our audience again?
Can. My name is Suyen. I'm one of the founders for Emotion Pod project. So with us here, we have two marketing girls, Emma and Jalin, and two tech guys, which is Eason and Lenjet. They all both, four of us, I think five of us, we all have our own forte. So I'm a banker with a multinational banker. Emma and Jalin, they are in e-commerce, and Eason and Lenjet, they all run their own tech business at the side. So we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. We come together, we build the synergy, we all adopt collective wisdom approach here.
I see. Actually, for Emotion Pod, right, what is it really about? Like, how do you link the NFT and mental health together? Like, can you give us a short introduction or maybe a full brief about Emotion Pod so everyone can understand better what y'all are doing now?
Maybe let me dissect your question a bit, okay? What is Emotion Pod? So it is a project that we all came up with. The idea is to advocate for emotion regulation, okay? Mm-hmm. First, this is the first takeaway message. Second part of your question is why NFT, why Web3? We want to take it as a tool to raise awareness, to raise funds because of its nature. Why I say that? Because NFT is transparent. You know, the blockchain is transparent. Every transaction is recorded, so there's no bullshit hoo-ha at the back. And what we are trying to do is to raise funds through NFT, and the money, how we're going to use it, is going to be recorded in the blockchain. So we will eliminate the common issue as to how we use the money.
So like everything is fun.
Correct. So we won't be accused of abuse of funds, because our intention here is to raise funds, to set up sponsorships and scholarships for people to be more aware about emotion regulation, not restricting themselves to only the conventional therapy sessions, but also to open up their mind and heart to accepting new stuff such as art therapy, drama therapy, or introduction to ADHD, those unconventional holistic therapy courses that should be known in the Southeast Asia region. That's our main goal here. Yeah. And also to build a safe space, that would be our long-term vision. That's why all of us, we are from different areas of expertise, right? But we all have this common belief and faith that emotion regulation should be a life skill, ought to be taught, and should be, you know, introduced to the public to be one of their life skill to, you know, set. Yeah.
Maybe you want to explain a little bit what is emotional regulation or emotion regulation.
So yes, this is a common asked question, I would say, but I think I will, you know, give this question to Emma and Jalin because they did a lot of research. They came up with so many, media posts and social media posts. Probably they can answer.
Yeah, I think Jalin can chip in later, but for most of the time, I think it has been quite some time where we are discussing this topic internally and also doing some quite in-depth research on. I think the broader understanding, emotion regulation is a skill where you will be, I think it is very vital for everyone to the ability to recognize your own emotion. It's before any diagnosis, it's before any symptoms, the moment where you are able to look into your own emotion, be aware of, and internally reflect on them before anything bad or anything happened. I think this is like a moment where very important skills to look into. I think this is the skeleton of our project.
I think allow me to jump in on this question to add on. Let's not go down to the fine grain of definition. Maybe I give you an example. Let's say today you kena marah by boss. Mm-hmm. And you're mad. Of course you're mad, right? It's like, what the fuck? Excuse my language. So what next is you need to be aware that you are angry as well. And you are aware that someone's angry at you. So how are you going to deal with your emotions before you do something hasty? Yeah. So that process from being angry to regulate back to the normal self, that process is called emotion regulation. Does it make sense? It doesn't mean that you need to be diagnosed with anger management or issue or anxiety issue. No. Everyone has emotions. Everyone should be aware of their emotions and how they need to be regulated back to their normal self. Normal self as in Zen, you know, you're aware, okay, today I'm a bit anxious about tomorrow's interview or tomorrow's morning market jam. You know, can be A to Z, anything, but you need to be aware and regulate it and learn how to cope with it to make sure it is not impacting your life, your emotion. Because if you are being controlled by emotions, whatever decision you make in the future will have a big impact on your life. This is an analogy. I tried to exemplify it instead of going down to the definition because a lot of people couldn't understand what is it all about. Yeah.
Basically, it's being like effective in recognizing and acknowledging what you're feeling and then bringing back to your normal state.
Yeah. Like, look at the graph, right? Let's say you're angry, so the graph is going up. So what we want to introduce emotion regulation is to go back down to the normal line here. Yeah. Correct. We are not psychologists, but we are also not therapists. None of us are traditionally or professionally being trained. But I think this is the skill that we all are aware that needs to be implemented and introduced to the public. Even on our side, I mean, you know, we also read a lot of books about it. Yeah, we attend a lot of courses. We try to understand what's going around. Then we realize that the ecosystem is not matured enough. And there's no proper policy or regulation governing this area. Yeah.
Yeah. Just curious, what made you guys see that there was a need for us to, or rather for people to know more about emotional regulation, or kind of like what prompted you to see, hey, something's up, or like there's a gap that we need to fill? Yeah.
I think before I answer this question, there's a story behind it. So I was in between jobs. Yeah. And I wanted to start a little business. So I went to the gentleman's here to talk about, you know, how can I start my own business on a website and whatnot, da da da. Then they say, hey, you know, Web3 is the trend. Let's do something about Web3. So I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And slowly the idea evolved to something more meaningful, which is right now. That keeps us going, that keeps the fire up. I would say, in short, I was being conned. But I mean, conned happily, I would say. But what makes us coming out with this idea? I would say because of my loss, my late mom loss yeah, I lost my late mom like 4 years back. And I realized that a lot of people are not aware how to process their grief. And because of me losing one parent at a very young age where I was about to step into the society to work, so I realized a lot of emotions pent up and I do not know how to deal with it. So I started looking out, read books, started people watching as well. And of course, everyone here, I'm not going to give anyone discount here, everyone here has went through a lot of shit, a lot of rough patches. And we all, why we could survive up to right now, I wouldn't say survive, because everyone found a way to cope without them realizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you put more thoughts, more or being more aware of this process, this will be called emotion regulation, but not everyone is privileged to do so, to be aware. A lot of people lost it. Mm-hmm. They can collapse, burn out without people knowing. Yeah, but it should not be that way. It should be a life skill, as important as driving skill. Yeah.
Yep.
So, in short, I'm being conned. And in short, because of my personal experience, everyone's personal experience here, even Emma, Jalin, Izan, Lianjet, we all have our own fair share of rough patches. That's why we, you know, we believe in this cause. Yeah.
Mm. In short, you're being conned by Lianjet and guys, Izan, then you con the girls, then all come together.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just need something like that to happen in life so that it makes you think about life, you know, properly, what you want, you know. We are not trying to start this project like this, but we felt like it should be this way. We found our food, yeah, because the model has been changed so many darn times and there comes a point we just broke down. We just stopped talking about the project for like a few months until I'm like, okay, guys, let's come back and talk about it. Yeah. It was that disappointed. Yeah. We had enough for a few times, but we came back together stronger and stronger. And we all decided this is going to be a long term. It's not going to be like a 3 month thing and then we launch it and bye bye. No. It's going to be a long term thing. So, what we hope is one day, let's say one of us, we. Met an accident or couldn't commit further, we hope that the project can be sustainable and run on its own. So we do not hope that because someone has left or someone has met an accident, the whole project called off. No, we are looking for a long-term and a more sustainable approach here.
Just curious, like, how did y'all manage your time? Because everybody is in different... feel and you guys, I believe, yeah. Come together like I don't know once a week or a daily thing to and work on this project.
Are you asking for our secret juice here?
You know, it's kind of like we want to ask for
so
this.
We can learn
also. It's quite hard for us to keep on this project as well.
maybe what I can say is we all learn how to dance together. We all learned, we went through rough pages, we couldn't get our time together, we had, you know, disputes over timing, commitments and whatnot, but we slowly understand each other's commitments, personal commitments, you know, even relationship commitments, and we find time. Yeah, we don't want to rush it. Yeah, because life is so unexpected, right? Uncertain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we set boundaries as well. We set boundaries like, okay, every week we need to speak for once. And if it's a big issue that we need to discuss, we will, you know, find a time to have dinner or lunch. Yeah. That's where we can talk about our issues, our matters, our discussion. Yeah. Boundaries, I think boundaries is very important. You need to set a boundaries because you cannot allow your day job to burn you down, burn you out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you cannot allow your side hustles or something meaningful like our project Emotion Pod to burn you out as well. So it's the balance. Even Emma and Jalin, they have their day job. sometimes they need to work 24/7 because of the e-commerce, you know, industry nature, the, you know, 11/11, yeah. I think.
Of the, the thing, yes.
Eason and Linjit, they also have a lot of tech projects on hand and also teaching students, I think. Recently, they had this new commitments. Yeah, so we all communicate our commitments so that we understand each other, what they're doing, what we are doing on the side, and we come up with a common slot. It takes time, it takes time. Trust me. We went through a lot of shit, yeah. It takes time.
I mean, what are some of the challenges that you guys have faced so far in running this project?
Maybe they can answer you. Yeah, you know, I'm
maybe we take one girl from marketing, one boy from tech team.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. Yeah. I shall mute now.
I think I will start just a very simple one. I think from our marketing and communication point of view, most of the time we will have to go out for pitching to related psychological field, people from different, mainly it will be psychological field. But when you mention about Web3, it could be a very contrast topic. Between mental health, well-being, and the Web3 blockchain people. So challenges would appear when you are connecting people from two different fields or two vastly different topics. So I think what we have to do is to serve as an advocate, to always like explain to related people. I think at the end of the time, we are advocating for the good well-being. Yeah, so those will be challenges. I think it's a continuous effort towards building
I guess, actually, if I were kind of like from a mental health industry, when you're talking about Web3, when you're talking about NFT, it's a very, very new thing to a lot of people out there. So I guess one of the main challenges is like trying to explain this very new thing to the mental health industry. And if let's say for the tech people, sometimes mental health, I'm not sure, maybe I'm very stereotyped, but sometimes I feel like the tech guy or tech girl, sometimes the mental health might not something in their dictionary. So it's hard to explain to them about that as well. Is it kind of like the challenges you
this
have?
This is a very, it's a common problem in Malaysia. The space is very, hasn't been developing quite steeply lah. In other countries, because of the regulation less stringent, so they are able to bloom faster. In Malaysia, there will be a lot of misconceptions around Web3 and NFT. I think Eason and NJ may be able to add on and elaborate on this point. Yeah, it's a challenge for us as well, because we are trying to do good things, and we don't want to be under the spotlight of being associated with a con or spam or money scheme.
To be honest, I also don't know much about Web3 and actually maybe the guys can explain it in a layman's term,
they are the best dudes, to explain.
Another question is like, what kind of the challenges that you have for tech side in this project as well?
Okay, basically I think from the tech side, to be honest, I personally think that the marketing side is very important, and also because like what Emma and Suyen has explained, the market about emotion regulation, because we're trying to raise awareness, so meaning awareness isn't there at this point. This is already a very difficult challenge for us, and then moreover on top of that is the fact that a lot of people still don't understand NFT. It's still the same thing.
It's a double challenge here.
Essentially we have a double challenge, trying to explain what's NFT on one hand, and trying to explain what is emotion regulation on the other hand. And then how do both of these gel together? So let me just share a little bit about Web3. So if you go a little bit backwards to when we were having, you know, the Yahoo time, when we were in high school. I think most of us are about the same age. So when back then, internet was all about getting information. You can only get information, watch, read news, and you cannot really interact with literally anything on the internet. So that's what we coined it as Web 1. And then moving forward to now, where you have all your Facebooks, your web apps, your e-commerce, all that actually involves human intervention or human interaction with all these platforms. This is what we are calling Web 2. But then in Web 2, all these, as we all know, all these data are being stored in just one place. So meaning Google owns your data, right? Mm-hmm. Or Facebook owns your data. And if someone, not just saying Google or Facebook, if you say you just went to some, you know, local brand, they own your data. And then someday after that, you're having a dispute with this brand, and then you're trying to sue them, they actually can very easily manipulate the data. They can just delete, or, you know, the manipulation of data is entirely up to the brand's owner. And then this is how Web3 was introduced, because of course it started off with you know, Bitcoin, and everyone was doubting what is Bitcoin. So, but yeah, Bitcoin is actually the tokenized currency. We take it that way. But the underlying technology is blockchain, where all this information pieced together in a very long chain of blocks. It's a bit technical. I'm trying to help everyone to imagine a long chain of blocks. And every time when someone wants to add a piece of information to this chain, it requires several computers to compute an algorithm and verify that this information is now on the chain. And everyone can check whether this information is on the chain. And because of this chaining, this chain sort of nature, trying to hack a piece of information or trying to change a piece of information will require the person to change from the very end bit of that block all the way up to this block, which is most likely unfeasible. So this basically Web3 is giving us the security, transparency, and also giving it's called distributed. So having your data distributed over several PCs instead of one centralized, and so having someone to control everything in one place. Mm. So that's about Web3. So yeah, like we see now, trying to explain what is NFT and Web3 is challenge for us. Yes.
Basically, it's a new science in Malaysia, and it takes time, even for the regulators, yes, for anyone, you know, anyone, the conventional industries, they don't get it. They don't get it. And the Web3 folks in Malaysia, they're also trying to do their job, trying to involve more people, build the community. Yeah, it's been quite a challenge for them. Yeah, for us as well.
Yeah, not only that, like, I think mental health awareness in Malaysia is also very low.
It's lacking. Yeah. It's not low. It's lacking. And a lot of people, just that day, my friend just booked out in front of me. I was trained as a mental first aider, so I'm able to not panic and ask whether is she open to speak to a therapist. If she said yes, I mean, she did say yes. Yeah. And I gave her a lot of options. I gave her a website that has a list of therapists, psychologists, and psychiatrists for her to choose. But she has to make the effort to book an appointment. So I was there. I didn't do anything. I just offered, okay, there's this platform. Are you open to speak to someone professional? I'm glad she said yes. So I handed her over the link, the website link, and she started scrolling and she made an appointment. Basically, she had a meltdown in front of me, just in front of me, burnout, breakdown, started pouring out all her unsatisfactions about life. She doesn't want to leave anymore. That's a very big red flag and I'm able to contain it. Yeah. If it's for other people, I won't be able to say that that person is able to handle it. Yeah.
I have a question, like for consumer point of view, for example, let's say I'm following you on Instagram, following EmotionPod, and what kind of benefits or what kind of, is it benefits? Like what would you want people to get from, you know, following or learning about EmotionPod or be part of this community?
Because we are going to use the money to set up scholarships and sponsorships. So what we are aiming to do is to educate, allow the psychologists or trained professional in this field to have a platform to build the ecosystem together. We are not going to do the heavy lifting. We are a bridge between the public and the trained professionals. Yeah. So what the consumer or the user is going to gain from this project is knowledge, a platform, a help desk, a community to support, to not discriminate, to accept each other, yeah, and to talk about it openly. It is okay, you know. Yeah, that day I just felt anxious, blah, blah, blah. Just openly share without thinking whether am I going to be judged harshly. It should not be that way. Yeah. That's our end goal. At the same time, we also trying to get more partnerships on board, strategic partnerships. So this is what we are working on stage by stage. It's not going to be like, oh yeah, we already launched. This is a full-blown package here. No. Because everyone here, we have commitments. We do not want to dash just at one shot. We're going to take it slow and steady. Because we are building a foundation for a long term.
Can you guys tell us a bit more about, because we're talking about raising funds, right? So what is it you are selling, or like, is it called selling? Selling through NFT, yeah, to raise funds.
NFT is a tool. We will be, the whole collection here we are talking is about 9,999 pieces. So through this, we are able to raise fund. And what we're going to do about it is to set up scholarships. And how we're going to do that is through setting up DAOs, because this is one of the Web3 feature that maybe Ethan and then Jet can shed some light here. So we are going to allow the community, the users, to decide what sort of programs we're going to sponsor, or the project's going to sponsor the scholars. How much is the amount, or where do you need to study? Simple decision. By involving the users, we are trying to build more inclusive community here, so that people know, oh yeah, there's this such thing called art therapy, or there's this such thing called digital game therapy, which is one of the latest therapy in UK. We want people to be involved in the decision making, because only then they will benefit in the end. Why I say so is because this pillar, this initiative pillar, once they completed their course, and at the end, they have to conduct 5 workshops for the community, public workshops. So,
right. So you don't get the scholarship for free in that sense.
No, it's a circular ecosystem.
Mm.
We're trying to build this ecosystem in a way that is sustainable.
Right.
Yeah. Why would the project sponsor someone and that someone is not coming back to teach,
contribute
to the community?
So who will be eligible, or who can apply to this?
It all depends, because by then we're going to set up an operational DAO. They need to decide. Yeah, it's not going to be us deciding, you know. That's the magical part about Web3. If there's... maybe Ethan and Lenjet can jump on it, yeah.
I tried to simplify it already. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just treat DAO as a voting system for now. So treat it as a voting system that is empowered by the perks of Web3. So like transparency, everyone can see who actually voted for who. And then it's immutable where this piece of data cannot be revoked. So yeah, so it's all about fairness to the community, allowing the community to vote and not cheat. This is as simple as I could go.
Okay, yeah. can I ask a question? So like I will explain what I understand, you tell me whether correct or not, can I? Okay. Because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will probably have this question as well. So let's say I go to EmotionPod page and then I am experiencing burnout, for example, or issues with regulating my emotions. I go to this page and then, you know, I get some useful tips, helpful tips. Eventually, I feel like maybe I want to take it further. And this is, of course, by which time y'all already have like funds raised and things like that. And I become part of this community, right? Then I say like, okay, I want to go for an art therapy course because I think maybe that might be helpful. So then do I kind of like voice that out? Do I need to campaign myself to be voted for so that I can go for the therapy? Or kind of like, how does that work?
It all depends on the tendering process, but let's say you want to go for a short course and whatnot, and let's say we have strategic partners who can offer discounted art therapy courses, which is not associated to EmotionPod. It's just purely like, let's say, XYZ Psychological Center offering these therapy courses. And if, let's say, you are EmotionPod user or community member, you're entitled like maybe XXX amount of discount, then, you know, by all means, go for it. This is your benefit. You are entitled to it. But if you want to be part of the EmotionPod tendering or DAO or want to be one of the scholars or sponsored by us, then we all need to see whether it is that season yet or not. Yeah, does it make sense? It's not going to be all year round because we don't have that much of cash to do the all year round thing first. Second is we also need to make sure that the committee knows what is DAO all about. Yeah, we need to raise the awareness. Yeah, this is one of the upcoming future challenge as well. So we don't want to complicate stuff. We're going to be starting by just doing simple voting. And if things are getting smoother, our community has more knowledge about Web3, how DAO works, then yeah, we're going to launch another more complicated, you know, voting system. We won't say no to it. Yeah. If actually can save a lot of operational hassles on our side. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I think you've explained it.
Because like two of you just frowning.
Oh no, because I think we're trying to like process it out and process.
Yeah, we're trying to imagine.
Yeah, because
how does it work?
I guess I don't understand much about NFT or how it works. So like when you say community and voting, there's a lot of question marks in my head. Like, what is this actually? How do people decide whether I can be whether I can get a scholarship or not? So, but I guess that probably will come later when you all have already like figured out your metrics and things like that, then it gets clearer.
Basically, if anyone buys our product, our, you know, so-called owns a piece of our NFT, that is like a entrance ticket to our voting. It's like an IC, you know?
Kind of like you're an investor in a way. Sounds a bit...
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. Okay. It's part of the community.
Got it. So, okay, because I'm a NFT noob, right? So if, let's say, somebody want to purchase something from you, where do they go to purchase this? What do you call it?
Okay. So
artwork.
Yeah. Essentially, it's an artwork, but okay. So basically, we will be launching our own website. Through the website, you can use your own MetaMask, which is your NFT wallet, your token wallet to log in. And then you can purchase it directly with the token. And while so many people out there are still not very familiar with NFT, we are also trying to figure out a way that is not going to infringe or not going to, not going to break any laws to do our normal currency, our fiat currency, using our fiat currency to purchase something from the Web3. Because as of now, this part is still, I would say, it's still like a gray area where you're trying to use your Malaysian ringgit to buy an NFT. Yeah. So we are trying to solve this issue as well at the same time. So have tried to simplify the entire purchase flow, just like how you would buy something off from a brand's website.
Because the Malaysia regulators are quite strict when it comes to this, and we don't want to risk it. So we're trying to figure this out as well. And at the same time, the marketplace in Malaysia, they are trying to also find their footing. So, yeah.
Actually, I'm quite curious though, like, how's the NFT market now in Malaysia at this point of time?
I don't think I'm the best person to comment. Maybe, you know, Ethan can take a stab on it.
Yeah, the NFT, actually, before the Russian-Ukraine war, NFT market was still on the rise. And since then, everything sort of crumbled, even not just NFT, basically even share markets, even gold prices. I mean, gold prices rising because of the war. But yeah, so everything was not as everyone had expected. So yeah, and as for now, I think it's still slowly climbing back to where it was before the war, but very, very slowly. So yeah, that's one thing, and especially in Malaysia, where a lot of people are still not aware. I mean, people know they probably have heard of Web3 or blockchain because that's a buzzword that's been around since, I think, when I graduated was 2018. Everyone was talking about blockchain, and everyone who tries to find a job is trying to talk about blockchain. So yeah, I think people knows this term blockchain, but they really don't understand how it works. So I think it still needs time. It still needs a little bit more time for the majority of Malaysians to, you know, hop into this scene.
So I guess actually your project is not something like you want to rush, you can do it very quickly. Also need quite a lot of education time and also not only education for the mental health awareness, but also for the NFT and also quite a lot of things like you need to wait for.
You know, there's this Chinese saying, 天时地利人和.
Yes.
Basically, we are just meditating, hoping that 天时地利人和, everything is complete. Then we launch. So We often receive this question from the ground or people around us, friends, family. Oh, so how's your project coming along? When are you launching? Then I was like, yeah, you know, soon. Yeah.
天时地利人. Okay, yeah, let me explain about the 天时地利人和. 天时 is like you need good weather, good timing, good people. Suitable people.
Correct.
I see.
Because our first tentative launch date was last April. I still remember. We were just talking about it. On our way back from Penang, it's like, oh yeah, you know, can we make it April? Da 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 da. When we drag until December, there's an article featured us, and we're still not out. We're still not out yet. Yeah, until now. Now it's already 2023. This has been a year long. Yeah, it's a long stretch. I'm glad that everyone is here, still here.
It's still here.
It's still here.
Yeah, because we're not trying to be the kind of, you know, flip and sell in, you know, NFT market has always been this, you know, oh, this thing is like a hot gimmick, hot icon, and people just,
it's not like hype out la, you don't want your project to be hype out.
Flip and sell and left hand selling to the right hand, that kind of way. We are trying to really work towards this cause of emotion regulation, so we are not really rushing things. And we want to really tailor what we are giving back to the community as in a detailed point form, and only then we are going to launch it.
Yeah.
Nice.
We want to make sure that the foundation is built solid. Mm-hmm. Instead of just launch for the sake of launching, there's no point. Yeah, it's like building, like, it's like constructing a house, right? Apartment. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that, you know, the pilings are right, it's deep enough, solid enough, mm-hmm. so that you can pour cement on top of it and start building. Yeah,
I see. Quite curious, because just now you're talking about, like, can offer a lease or can offer scholarships or like sponsorships for people who take maybe like some art therapy course or that kind of things. Like, do you have any collaboration with the mental health professions in providing these kind of courses at this point?
We are still in the midst of talking to some of them because the ecosystem here is small. And right now we have someone who's very supportive, but I can't disclose yet. Mm-hmm. But I think sooner or later, the public will know. We will be having a physical event next month, just a pre-soft launch to gather like 20 packs max, to make sure that our model is up there, like an acid test. We really want to know like what public people is thinking about our project. Yeah. So we will be inviting our facilitator, which is the person that we are talking to talk about some of the topics, general topics. Yeah. He's a practitioner. It's traditional. Mm. I mean, it's a professional practitioner in Malaysia.
Sorry, I a bit lost for that one. So he will be talking about some mental health related topics.
General topic, like say relationship, how you approach, you know, how do you identify attachment styles, how do you resolve communication, you know, if you feel stressed about your relationship, why so? Yeah, it's the common thing. We don't want to go into the mental disorder part because it's a very short session. That we are trying to build our physical presence solely in the market.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
What is something that maybe y'all want to tell our listeners about? Maybe this can be a platform for y'all to also raise awareness about the importance of emotion regulation. Maybe you can tell us more about why is it important and what do people need to do? I mean, I know that that's like going into your content already, but maybe just a brief teaser for our listeners.
You mean for our project in whole?
Like the objective of your course is to talk about emotion regulation, right? Raising awareness about this and the importance of it. I think because a lot of people these days, we experience emotions, we kind of blow up and we don't really think that it's an important thing to have or a skill. And I don't think we're really taught about it growing up as well. So yeah, maybe you can tell us a bit more about why it's important.
Oh, wow, there's so much more to share here. But in short, we are trying to build a community, a safe space for Malaysians, especially Malaysians, to talk about their emotions openly. Okay, first. Second is, of course, we would like to raise awareness on emotion regulation to be one of the life skills to learn, to cope, you know, to implement in their life. Okay, the third thing is, it is okay to feel certain ways or to feel certain emotions. It is definitely okay to speak to therapists, to speak to psychologists, to speak to psychiatrists, or even to speak to people around you about the overwhelming incidents in life. Yeah. Never feel that you're alone in the world. Yeah. There's always people who cares. You just need to speak to the people who care about you to that doesn't judge you, able to offer a pair of listening ears. Yeah. And what our project is trying to do is to build a safe space in Malaysia as per se for a start to talk about it. Yeah. We won't be on mental well-being as per se, but the skill. Emotion regulation is the key message here, a skill that we want people to take away. We want to teach people to fish instead of giving people the fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good and important skill to have.
Suddenly, this situation here is a bit heavy.
Yeah.
lighten up. It's a night time here.
I guess actually it's more about the reasons why you want to teach people to learn about these skills is because you want people to really validate their own emotions and trying to have a healthy way to regulate it. Yeah. Otherwise, most of the time we just ignore or just it's okay like that.
Yeah.
It's fine. But most of the time but after you know the importance of emotional regulations, you know it definitely doesn't work. It works in the short term, but it doesn't work in the long term.
Yes, and a lot of things triggered certain people at certain times without them knowing. There's also this thing called trauma. Trauma is a big topic, it's a huge topic that I do not want to go deep because it may trigger some of the audience here or people who, listening to this podcast. But what I'm trying to say that there's this book, it's called What Happened to You. It's one of the initiatives by Oprah Winfrey. She also think that emotional regulation is one of the key skills. Yeah, a lot of people went through a lot of trauma, childhood trauma, adult trauma, workplace trauma, relationship trauma. Even they themselves, they are not aware. Why are they acting certain ways? Why are they being treated certain ways? And why do they are not trusting certain type of people, certain emotions or certain incidents? Why do they have self-limiting beliefs? So all this worth the mental space to think about it. Yeah, to be more aware, to feel, to have that courage to feel the emotion. A lot of people just brush it off, suppress it. Especially the Asians, it's like, hey, don't cry, your mom and dad is still around, why should you cry? There's this typical Chinese saying, why are you crying? You can't cry, you don't deserve to cry, your dad is still around, your mom is still around, why
it's
do you
It's not a big
cry?
Deal why you're crying,
yeah, correct.
Can you be stronger?
Yeah, yeah, so these are the things that I don't think it is right. Crying is totally normal, being angry is totally normal. Worrying is totally normal, but everything should be regulated back to the normal line instead of constantly being worried 24/7 in that certain type of emotion.
Yeah, I think it goes back to taking care of yourself, right? And also being good for the people around you. So yeah, I think that's very important. And I just want to say that, I mean, we've been talking about all this heavy stuff, but it's probably not easy for you guys to do this project. So just want to encourage y'all and say y'all are doing a good job. And I think this is something that's very needed today. And I think it takes a lot of courage to even start this and figure things out and in an area that people don't really know about or don't even think it's important yet. So yeah, good job guys.
When we talk about this thing, this project, when we pitch to the more experienced person, I'm not referring to psychologists or therapists, I'm referring to non-practitioner, those uncles and aunties. They'll be like, what the hell are you doing, man? What is this emotion regulation about?
Harder for them to understand.
Suck it out and move on with life, right?
Yes.
But they themselves, with all due respect, I don't think they are aware of. They are basically passing down the generational trauma. They are creating the generational trauma as well. So we are not trying to teach the old dogs new trick. We are focusing on the younger people.
Yeah. Oh,
yes, because this needs to be practiced. It should be a habit, a skill to learn and implement in life, to adopt, and blend it into your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, I really need to thank my team here, able to stick together, pull things through. It's not easy. Yeah, working with me is not easy as well. Well, working with me is definitely not easy. Yeah. So And also we have an artist who prepared the art pieces. Her name is Wei Wen. She graduated top from her art school. She's a Penang Knight. She also, yeah, she also shared the same mission and able to come up with all these art pieces for us. Yep. By chance I met her in one of the what's that called? Bazaar.
Wow.
And we just talked about
gem.
It. Yeah, I found a gem. I found a gem and I. But previously we also had a artist. She was my junior, but things just didn't work out because of our art direction. Yeah.
I see.
But I really like your art. Like, I think the first time I went into Instagram, I was just telling Shukan, that stood out to me.
Yeah. That's her art, but it's our project. Yeah.
Your project.
I have nothing to do with art. The last person, the last artsy-fartsy person. But we really need thank. It's also very hard to look for artists and local talent. And what I want to say is we are all here to support local talents. And we think that local talents deserve a chance, a platform to shine. And it should not contribute to brain drain rate. Yeah, should stay in Malaysia.
Do you need to get more talent to join your project? So whoever who is listening to this podcast.
Yes.
I don't know, find this team.
By all means, whoever wants experience, how to contribute best or better to this project. For marketing, you can look for Emma, for tech side, you can look for Eason. For strategy, you need some hard stuff to think about, heavy topic to think about, you can look for me. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have all different expertise here.
Can. Actually, quite curious, since you all have different kind of functions in your teams, right? Quite curious, has your corporate experience helped you with this Emotion Pop project?
I knew there's one person who's gonna laugh his ass off. So
what happened?
it's hard. Shukan, this question, Emma and Janine, they took the effort to jot down all the questions into our Google Excel sheet. And I was the only person who didn't fill up the Google sheet. It's because there's so much things I want to share and I couldn't pen it down. Okay? For this particular question, I must say that it's hard because I'm from all this regulated industry, right? So what I want is systematic, structured order. But our dear gentleman here is they're all startup founders mindset, creative, you need to do, hey, why not this? Suddenly we are on this topic, da 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 da. Then suddenly they say, hey, why not this? I was like, what the fuck is happening? We're on this topic. Hello, come back. Yeah, and then Emma and Jarlene, they are trying to be the operation manager here. It's like, okay guys, focus. Agenda one, let's talk about it. And then I'll be like more comfortable. But these two guys were starting, hey, 我跟你讲, or hey, how about this? I was like, oh my god, here we go again. So a few moments, yeah, they allowed me to zone out as well because I need to adapt to their communication style. So I wouldn't say how my corporate experience contribute to this project. It's more like how this project contribute to my corporate experience. Does it make sense? Because I need to learn how to deal with different sort of people, be more agile, less structured, or I would say less Kosuian structured, not less structured as per se. Yeah, they all train me to be more patient. I'm a very hot-tempered person and very patient, good communication style. They all taught me how to be a more rounded person. Yeah. Even when it comes to marketing, I have this thing I want to do and I was like, okay guys, this is what I want, but you are not delivering and da da da. Then they explain, they show me different perspective. Why are we doing this? It's because of this. I was like, okay. It took me quite some time to say, okay, guys, do your things. Yeah, it took me quite some time. So now I'm very comfortable. It's now the situation is like, they will push me. It's like, okay, the website is ready, or the social media post, we are ready, we posted, Suyen, you know, just for information. Yeah. Last time,
yeah, the one that following you up now.
Yeah, yeah. So they taught me a lot of things. I won't, yeah. But of course, I cannot not give credit to my corporate experiences. Like, you know, no matter my current job or my previous job, it gave me a lot of insights, understanding how do a proper team should function and how do you learn how to see the big picture. Because they have marketing doing marketing stuff, tech doing tech stuff, but I'm the strategist. I need to make sure everyone's on the same page. So it takes time for me to understand what the hell is this marketing doing? Okay, what is this tech doing? What is this website? What is this UI UX thing? So I have to learn up before I ask questions. Even sometimes I need to ask stupid questions. But guys, I need to ask stupid questions. You need to let me understand what's going on so that I can see the bigger picture. So I'm glad that they are all here to contribute to the common goal, which is to launch the project, to make sure the project is steady. Without them, I think we won't be here talking to you. Yeah, you won't see Emotion Pod being renamed, like Emotion Bank being renamed as Emotion Pod. So there's a lot of milestones we have checked together. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when I saw that question, I knew it. I knew Ethan is going to laugh his ass off because we talk about it. We talk about it. He wins at me down. It's like, Suyen, I know you're from corporate, but startup is not like that. Yeah, oh. You know, to catch up with his startup mindset, I bought like entrepreneur books, related books. I was so crazy at one time, right? Everywhere I go to any bookshop, I'll just support all the entrepreneur books. It's like, what is this enterprising all about? What is this entrepreneurship all about? Yeah, just to catch up with Ethan's speed. Yeah, there's a lot of learning. Even I told Jalin when she joined, she's the latest addition to our team. I told her, I say, are you sure? Are you sure you are up for this challenge? Because if she is from a total, you know, 100% corporate background, I say it's going to be a very hard, you might break down, you might cry sometimes. Yeah, because I'm speaking from my own experience. I grill her like twice before I say, okay, welcome to the shithole. Serious. Yeah, you can ask her. She's like, I want to do it. I'm up for the challenge. I said, girl, I know you're up for the challenge. You're driven. We appreciate your talent, but this is like a long-term mental distress.
Yeah. So Jalin, yeah. Why are you up for it?
Yeah. I think fortunately I haven't had any breakdown so far, so like, you know, crying episodes, so I'm quite fortunate. But I think because like for myself, I've always been in a corporate background, and like what Suyen mentioned, joining this team is very different. We are all on our own shoes. We have our own shoes to fill, and you do not have like a person to like guide you constantly all the way. And I think this is also something that I want to learn. I don't want to just like follow like strict rules at work and then a very hierarchical like culture. So this is also for my own learning. And I think so far, like what Suyen also mentioned, like whatever I've learned here, I also managed to bring it back to my workplace. And yeah, vice versa, like whatever I learned there, I also can bring some of it, the more healthy culture, to like the team as well. Yeah.
And I also realized that this project has made all of us grow in certain ways. Like Emma and Lenjie, they are able to be more vocal about things. They used to be very quiet, seated down in a corner, just getting orders from me. I was like, you know, guys, I'm going to flip this table. You guys need to tell me what to do instead. So now Lenjie is taking care of the website. You know, Ethan can focus on other stuff. And Emma can do the high-level marketing things when she's receiving help or collaboration from Jalin. So Aaron, yeah, we went through the stage of getting used to each other's forte tasks. And we are comfortable. We found our piece, lah. Yeah. It's like a puzzle, you know, now we are complete. So if anyone wants to join, you know, we are more than welcome. But please be aware that it's not going to be easy, because whatever we are trying to do here is very difficult. Raising awareness on mental health, first of all. Second, it's on Web3 space. Then the third is building the community. There's so many discrimination and speculation and misconception about mental health, well-being. And, you know, the Asian mindset about mental health being, it's not going to be easy. Yeah.
Yes, I'm not better be committed. Yeah. I think this time Suyen will ask this person 3 times. La. I think Jalin twice, right?
Three times. Not for me to ask. It's more like, Jalin, that's your turn to burn that person. Make sure this acid proof, you know.
But yeah. I really like these insights, because I think most of the time in the corporate world, especially been long in a company, right? And then you always get, I want to get involved in projects, and you don't get it. And in this particular case, you guys form a project out of your job scope, and then you learn and grow that whatever skills and experience that you learn in corporate versus in your current project, you can use it vice versa. La. I think that's a good insights to some of the listeners who are listening in as well.
And another thing is, you have to be very agile with changes.
Agile is like a corporate favorite word.
No, I tell you, it's totally different. The gentleman, these two gentlemen that taught me about agility even before Emma and Jalin joined us. So three of us, we are considered the pioneers. I kid you not. It's tough. Because when I decided on the model, I was like, okay, guys, I thought it through A to Z. This is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the macro environment changes and you have to change. It took me quite some time to suck it up and say, okay, let's change. It was tough because to me, it's like, you know, the model I came up was perfect. What's wrong with it? Yeah. And the two guys, they have to convince me, Suyen, you need to suck it up. You need to change, you know, if you want to launch from a total full-fledged Web3. I was in between my jobs, so it was a full-fledged Web3 thing. And now, we are like half Web2. We got downgrade ourselves. It's because we are aware and we need to accept and admit that Malaysia community is not ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we are not doing Web3. We are still doing it, but not now. We need to be agile, adaptable, flexible. We need to tweak it whenever it needs to be. Does it make sense? Because, yeah, this is one of... I believe three of you guys have went through certain type of shit as well. That you need to tweak, you need to change certain things, you need to adapt and, you know, be flexible about things. Yeah.
I'm not sure. How
I think
about
especially,
you two?
Especially in our job right now, like, LinkedIn is like, can be our competitor, or we can ride on it with the technology, right? And...
Yes, it's one of the previous jobs I had. I learned how to connect the dots. I learned how to leverage on different forces. So I don't think LinkedIn is going to replace you as per se. It's more like how you're going to make sure LinkedIn amplify your message. Your platform, which we are trying to do it. Like five of us, we are trying to use LinkedIn to talk about emotion regulation. If you notice, my LinkedIn posts are all about mental health, journey, my journey on mental health, or my LinkedIn journey. Ethan also using it. I think he's writing on Medium as well. Yeah. And Emma, Jalin, they are trying to use the platform Lenje as well. So it's about time that Malaysians have to step up and start using LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah. Even actually, my people around around me, right, they noticed that I've been writing. They liked. All they did is like, I say, dude, you know, girl, start using LinkedIn so that we can leverage on each other and grow the ecosystem in a more meaningful manner. Yeah. A lot of imposter syndrome here that we need to address. Yeah. Okay, that silent nod, I got it.
Okay. Actually, I'm quite curious. Like, I heard just now, like Suye and Jalin have a lot of like new experience, especially involved in this project. I'm quite curious, like, how about Eason, your side? Like, do you have any new experience linked from Suye or Eason while you're doing this project?
Oh yeah, this is what I need to hear.
Yes. Because definitely coming from, you know, after graduation, I just hop into like creating business and running our own business. So things definitely will be, you know, oftentimes changing because we often pivot from ideas to ideas. But during when we pivot to one idea, it's really important to have a framework because and people coming from corporate backgrounds, they are fantastic with frameworks. So having a framework will keep things going properly and then in a very structured way. So yeah, until when we start to realize, hey, maybe there's some hiccups along the way, then we come back to this startup nature of thinking, should we pivot?
Yeah. Okay, so maybe not on the model. Let's talk about how much time it took us to realize we needed to fix a weekly meeting slot. I think it was about 8 months, 6 to 8 months.
Wow.
Suddenly, you know, I was waiting for someone to suggest. Suddenly, everyone's like, yeah, I think we should fix a time. Shall everyone commit to like certain time of certain days? I was like, yeah, why not? So everyone has been very committed. This, I applaud everyone here. We are very committed to that slot. Die, whenever you drive, you take a flight or whatnot, die, you attend. We all attend. By hook or by crook. Yeah, this is the commitment. Go on. Yeah, frameworks.
Yeah, in fact, that also sort of come, we can say that that's part of our culture in the team, like our team culture. So, you know, the dedication to certain things, I mean, this is how I see it. This is just how I see it. Yeah. Having frameworks and working alongside a startup mindset.
I see. Okay, can. No problems. I guess that's all about it today. Because since like it's about an hour plus now. So,
oh, wow. Does it mean that you need to take more time editing our episode? Do you have any question for Lian Jie? I felt like he has a lot more to share here.
Lian Jie, you need to share voice out.
What do I need to share?
Anything like how torturous it is to work with us.
It's very fun working with us. So join our
team. Why do you believe in this project? Why are you in?
I was also conned by them.
It was a con job. So the main topic here is how I was being conned to advocate for mental health project.
That's a good headline.
Yeah.
Alright. Due to the length of the time, I guess let's call it for an episode today. Thank you, Mocha Pop team, to share about all of your stories from running this project together, what's really it about, and also what's your plans in the future. I guess hopefully this will raise a better mental health regulation awareness for the Malaysia out there and also understand better about what's Web3 in Malaysia as well. There's quite a lot of takeaways in this episode, so if you are still listening, I hope that you gain different kind of insights in this episode from both of us. If you like this episode, feel free to share to your friends. Recruiter Insights and Emotion Pod are available on Instagram. So I will attach the link below. Thank you for your night today. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
I won't say how my corporate experience contribute to this project. It's more like how this project contribute to my corporate experience. Does it make sense? Because I need to learn how to deal with different sort of people, be more agile, less structured, or I would say less structured, not less structured as per se. they all taught me how to be a more rounded person.
But I really like these insights because I think most of the time in the corporate world, especially if you've been long in a company, right, and you always get on to get involved in projects and you don't get it. And in this particular case, you guys form a project out of your job scope, and then you learn and grow that whatever skills and experience that you learn in corporate business in your current project, you can use it vice versa. I think that's good insights to some of the students who are listening in as well.